Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are you a fan of mystery and adventure? Introducing June's Journey, the captivating free-to-play mobile game that will ignite your inner detective. Play as June Parker in a thrilling murder mystery adventure as you search for hidden objects to uncover the truth behind her sister's death. Step into the glamorous world of the Roaring Twenties with stunningly illustrated scenes and over 1,000 mysteries to unravel. With new chapters added weekly, you'll never run out of clues to chase and suspects to interrogate. Plus, you can build your own island escape with beautiful gardens and buildings and even join a detective club to collaborate with other players. Experience the thrill of being a detective and unravel the mystery in June's Journey. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network, this is a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming live on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You can always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Got Stuart Kovacs, got Moist Mike rocking and rolling with me all the way up until 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific today. Former Knicks guard Chris Childs is going to join us coming up at 5:20 p.m. Eastern, 2:20 p.m. Pacific today. I was in the building last night for Knicks and Pacers. What an exciting game. I was very impressed with the Pacers in the second quarter. And then the third quarter, even when the Pacers had a big lead, you saw the triumphant return of Jalen Brunson, who left the game. And I thought at first it was either a hand or a groin injury. Then it turns out to be a foot injury. There was some uncertainty if he was going to come back. OG Anunoby then leaves the game with the hamstring injury. And that's something to monitor, because where I was sitting last night, I was able to hear a lot of what was going on the bench. And when OG Anunoby left to go into the locker room, he was screaming, "Oh bleep, oh bleep, oh bleep." And I can't say the bleep part on the radio, because then Stu or I, one of us, would probably get fired. So that's something to monitor there with OG Anunoby with the hamstring injury. But the Knicks come on back, led by Jalen Brunson, led by Dante DiVincenzo, and now they have a 2-0 series lead. And we'll get to the bitching and complaining by Indiana Pacers coach Rick Carlisle coming up a few moments from now. But let me start with that little college football today, because I was reading something, and it was via the Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine. TCU head coach Sonny Dykes, who is a football lifer, and we know 2 years ago he was in the national championship game, his first year as the head honcho at TCU, where they got obliterated by Georgia. But he was talking to the magazine, and he said there's got to be a split between the Power Four and the Group of Five eventually. There is just such a big difference right now between the haves and the have-nots, and I think we'll eventually split into two separate divisions. Alabama and Louisiana Tech aren't playing the same sport. So you may hear that and you may go, man, why is Sonny Dykes just throwing a stray and a big elbow to Louisiana Tech? He did coach there. So I think that was just okay with his background. And now he's in a have school and he's been in a have not school before. that's why he threw out Louisiana Tech. He also said those jobs, when talking about the group of five jobs, are even harder now because if one of your players has a great season, he's probably getting plucked away, he explained. Your only chance to build a great culture and hope that keeps most of your roster intact. So I think through time, developing and being open-minded and sometimes even changing your thought process isn't the worst thing in the world. When you see business structures, when you see systems play on out, and you could have a thought earlier in life, and then it changes when you get a little bit older. Like when I was at Temple University, and that's when Temple football was a solid program, right? They beat Penn State for the first time in 74 years. They went to two American Athletic Conference championship games. They won the conference one time. They had College Game Day embark on the streets of Philadelphia, and it was Temple Notre Dame where that game did go down to the wire, and Temple almost won the football game before you had a wide receiver. It was Will Fuller catch the ball in the back right of the end zone, and then Kavari Russell, as P.J. Walker was driving, intercepted P.J. Walker, and the Owls did go down. Like, to see the rise of Temple football at that time, and I was a student, it was really damn cool, and you felt like there was a place for the little guy in college football. And, right, that's just my experience. Like, there's been so many more little guy schools that had a bigger impact. Like, how about Boise State? And we all remember that iconic Fiesta Bowl, which, if memory serves me right, I think Samter revealed this like a month ago. Samter left that game early, which I can't believe. Like, that's just one of those moments. You leave early and you're like, oh my God, you probably just hate life. There's other smaller moments in college football. Obviously, you had UCF claiming a national championship when they were undefeated, but it kind of showed that they had no chance of getting into the college football playoff. And then years later, you saw Luke Fickell with Cincinnati lead Cincinnati to the college football playoff. So there's been a lot of evidence where there's a place for the smaller guy in college football. But now with NIL and the transfer portal, it's very tough for the smaller guy to succeed. It just is. Like, I've seen what Temple football has become. It looks not even in the same zip code as what it was back in 2015, 2016, 2017 even. And the program now just can't get off the ground anymore and can't have success because they continuously put people in the NFL, but it's not people that stayed through Temple. Like, you have people go to Temple, and they have a good year or two, and then a bigger school comes calling. And I'm not going to fault, right, the system. I'm not going to fault the player for doing that. Because if I could go get more money at another school and play at a bigger program, I would be stupid to say that players shouldn't do that. So what Sonny Dykes is saying, I probably would have vehemently disagreed with in 2015, 2016. I probably would have also vehemently disagreed with it even in 2020. But now with NIL and the transfer portal really defining this era of college football, he's 110% right. It's the haves and it's the have-nots. And there needs to be a new system created that separates the haves and the have-nots. And I understand if, let's say, you're an established smaller program like a Boise State, right? And you say, nope, I want to compete in this 12-team college football playoff, where the 5-7 format, where 12 teams get in, the five conference champions are guaranteed a spot. It's the five highest ranked conference champions. You know, if the Pac-12 was still there, well, the group of five would probably get screwed over a lot of years. But now with the Pac-12 pretty much being dead, you have the core four, the power four, whatever you want to call them, and then one other spot guaranteed for a conference champion. So if you want to say, like, the Boise State fan or, you know, the smaller school that's not in the core four, I'll take my chances of just being damn good and then get in the playoff, the 12-team playoff, the 1 year, the 2 years, whatever it is, that I'm really damn good and I'm the best of the smaller schools. I can understand that argument. But I think it's more so the developmental part and the lack of separation right now that makes it just so tough for the little program to succeed. And you may as well just compete against all the other little programs. Because I'm not a dummy here where I understand where you could have this separation and then someone could go to a smaller school and they could still have success and then a big school could still poach them. But if you give that smaller school more of an incentive and you create kind of a format around them, I don't know how lucrative it will be, but the smaller school right now in one game could be on the same playing field as a big school, but in the way that college football is structured, it's not sustainable. It just isn't. And I did read via Dennis Dodd that former Tennessee football coach Derek Dooley is pitching a group of five playoff that would be financially backed by private equity. Sources tell CBS Sports the concept would address, if not be motivated by, disappointment felt by the group of five conferences, the MAC, the Mountain West, the Sun Belt, the American, and Conference USA over revenue distribution shares under the new college football playoff media rights agreement. The average program in those conferences will receive $1.8 million per year in college football playoff revenue beginning in 2026 under the new deal, up from the current $1.5 million payout. I'll read you one more line here. The group of five splits 9% of the annual $1.3 billion deal with ESPN. While the payout marks an increase in raw numbers, it is a percentage decrease considering the group of five received 22% of the pot in the prior deal from 2014 to 2023. So if you want to tell me that the four major conferences break off and then everyone else forms in and you create a playoff for those schools, I would be fine with it. Because like, if you're a fan of one of those smaller schools, do you really have a shot? Like, do you really have a shot to win? Even if you get into the college football playoff, are you really going to win the college football playoff? No. So compete against the people that are on the same playing field as you. And then there's some chance that you could have some sustained success. And once again, as I said, there is still a great chance that if you are in a smaller program, that you still get your kids plucked. But at least you could compete for something, and at least you could motivate your players and have something that's actually attainable to reach your goals if they do go to your university. So I'm with this. I don't know if it's going to happen. I feel like we've done these shows at least 15 to 20 times in the last 3 years. What's the future of college football? And I've said for a while that eventually these conferences are going to merge together. I didn't know that the Pac-12 was going to go away this quickly. I think a misnomer here or misconception here is that a lot of people think that the SEC and the Big Ten, which are even in the core four, they're the haves, right? That they're more, those two conferences are more powerful than the Big 12 and the ACC. But I don't think the SEC and also the Big Ten are really going to be motivated to go on out there and add a lot more schools than what people think. Because eventually the TV companies are just going to say, hey, we're not giving you any more money. You just got to divide this up and figure out how you're going to divide up what we're going to give you with the amount of schools that you're going to bring in. So I don't know how many more brands are that are really attractive. You know, obviously there's a few that ring a bell, clearly starting with Notre Dame and a few others. But I don't know how many, I don't think it's a huge number and a big number when it comes to schools that will be desired and hunted to join the SEC and then also join the Big Ten. So I'm okay in seeing this separation and seeing separation and just drawing the line in the sand of this is the state of the sport right now. If you're not in the SEC, if you're not in the Big Ten, if you're not in the ACC, if you're not in the Big 12, do you really have a chance to compete for a championship? Do you really feel like you could have sustained success and build a consistent winner year in and year out? And the answer to that for most schools is no, rather than yes. And I know there's some small examples. And some of those examples have been some of the better stories we've seen in college football. But with NIL and the transfer portal, it makes it the hardest it's ever been for the little guy to keep kicking and the little guy to keep turning and producing a sustainable program. So I think we just need to all acknowledge that, how we acknowledge there's a difference with FBS schools, right, and FCS schools. And you have that FCS playoff, which a lot of people, I don't care for it, but a lot of people talk about that playoff whenever we talk about the possibility of playoff expansion. And all this is just keep on kicking the can down the road. I get that. And the financial part of it is more complicated, and I don't have a great understanding of it. But just from a competition standpoint, and someone that is an alum of a smaller school that participates in big boy college football, you're not really participating in big boy college football. It's just the reality of the situation. And I'm okay with what Sonny Dykes said of make this the haves and the have-nots, and you break away. It's not the first time this has been talked about, but to hear it from a core four coach, one of the coaches in one of the four major conferences, it is something that it makes you take it a little bit more seriously. So you could call in and you could figure out at 855-212-4227 what's the best for the future of college football. But I really do believe the four power conferences operating under one umbrella and then everybody else operating under another umbrella and having two different college playoff kind of formats, one for the core four and one for the smaller schools, is something that would be good for the smaller schools because you actually have something to play for. Because as much as we talk about those smaller school coaches, smaller school programs getting players plucked away, there's a lot that stay through. And there's a lot that their playing abilities only allows them to play at that level and play at that program. Like, some will go on and transfer. Some will go on to bigger and better things. But at least give those kids that stay something to actually play for rather than just putting this dream out there that, oh, you'll get into the college football playoff where it's such a minuscule chance, even with the guaranteed spot that the program with these smaller schools are actually going to go in that these kids do commit to. What do you think the future of college football should look like? I think it's going to turn into the haves and the have-nots. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when it's going to happen. Whole lot to do today on the Zach Yelp Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a timeout. Rick Carlisle, quit your bitch, and we'll get into why he needs to stop complaining when we return.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yo, yo, that's right. It is the Infinity Sports Network, and it is the Zach Gelb Show on this Thursday. We will chat it up with former Knicks guard Chris Childs coming up in about 2 hours from now. But first, we have to hear from the head coach of the Indiana Pacers in Rick Carlisle as the Pacers lost game 2 last night. They're down 0-2 as the series heads back to Indiana. And Rick Carlisle came off last night after the game as a baby. There's no other way to say it when he's bitching about the officials, where there are times you should be able to and you can complain about the officials, but last night wasn't one of them. So let's hear from the head coach of the Indiana Pacers, who called out the Zebras after game two.
You know, one guy just said he didn't double dribble, but it looked to me like Tibbs went out there and argued it, and they changed it. That's what it looked like. I can only go by what I see, what I saw. You know, that's small beans compared to everything else. You know, small market teams deserve an equal shot. They deserve a fair shot, no matter where they're playing. Anybody else?
Yeah, let me tell you something, Rick Carlisle. Shut up. Put the binky in your mouth and stop complaining. After game one, you had every right to complain about the officials. The officials in game one were below average. But in game two last night, you did not lose that game because of the officiating. So you said nothing after game one, but here you are after game two, crying like a baby. That's absolutely ridiculous. Don't tell me that you're getting screwed by the officials because you play in a small market and that the Knicks play in a big, bad market, and that's why they're getting the calls. Doesn't impact Minnesota. They're up 2-0 against Denver. You know, it doesn't impact Oklahoma City, right? A small market team. They've had a great season. So don't give me this nonsense that the league is looking to screw over the Pacers because they play in a small market. That's a bunch of hogwash. That's a bunch of baloney. And it's a bunch of BS. How about you be better as a coach? Because as a coach last night, you didn't play TJ McConnell enough when he was having a really good game. And also, your team choked the lead in the third quarter, and the Knicks took over that game in the third quarter where Jalen Brunson didn't play in the second quarter, and then OG Anunoby got hurt and missed the second half. You had every opportunity to win that game. The officials did not cost you that game last night. And quite frankly, for him to just say, oh, well, the league basically just screws over these small market teams is ridiculous. The last few years, the Milwaukee Bucks just recently won a championship a few years ago. They're a small market team. We've seen small market teams have a lot of success, and it's not because they overcame crappy officiating. That's a loser mentality from Rick Carlisle when there is no evidence, when it's not a game where you actually got screwed over by the Zebras. He said that, if he would have said that after game one, I would not agree with that the officials are trying to screw over a small market team, but he had every right to vent, bitch, and complain after game one. He didn't do so. So after game two, when there is no impact, none whatsoever by the officials in that game that cost you the game and that impacted the outcome of the game, don't be sitting there crying like a baby. Wah! Oh, the small market teams get screwed. Wah! Oh, it's the big bad market New York Knicks. Wah! Like, are we serious? What are we doing here? That, to me, is pretty much a coach just trying to ensure, you know, that he's going to get calls in his home building for games three and games four, I guess. Or maybe he's trying to motivate his team and use that as a kind of a rallying cry for his team. But I don't know if it's working. Because, you know, let's hear from a player, Tyrese Haliburton. You know, sometimes, right, a coach will say something, and the coach will take the fine and the coach will take it on the chin to speak for his locker room. But we know the NBA is a league that's driven by the players, and NBA players aren't afraid to speak their minds. So here's Tyrese Haliburton on the game two loss to the New York Knicks.
At the end of the day, we got outplayed. We were right there to win the game. Would I like consistency? More consistency, yeah, but let's not pretend like that's the only reason we lost. We just didn't play good enough, you know. But at the end of the day, it's 2-0. We're going back to Indy, and, you know, I like us in any matchup. So I'm not worried, but, yeah, we like consistency. Just, you know, I don't think he double dribbled, but if you can overturn that call, why can't you overturn the kick ball? I don't really understand that. But like I said, they outplayed us. So let's not pretend like the refs are the reason we lost. We just got to be better.
Good on Tyrese Haliburton. And let's be clear. What they are bitching about did not cost them the game. But even I will admit, I'll be fair all the time. I will admit, when they called the double dribble, it was not a double dribble. But then to say it was an inadvertent whistle, I don't think anyone actually believed that was an inadvertent whistle. Because if you didn't mean to blow your whistle, you would have said so right away in the moment, not at the officials huddle up and then say that. But once again, that did not cost them the game. What cost them the game was when you enter the third quarter, you had the Knicks on the ropes to tie this series up at one apiece. You had Brunson out of the game. He comes back in for the start of the third quarter. OG Anunoby gets hurt, leaves the game. You know, they basically played a half without OG Anunoby and a quarter without Jalen Brunson. And the Pacers couldn't hold on to their lead. And the Knicks beat them up pretty damn good, doubled them up in the third quarter, and then showed why they were the better team in the fourth quarter. You know, tell you guys to hustle more. How many rebounds is Josh Hart going to get just because he's hustling now in two series? Dante DiVincenzo hits shots. Jalen Brunson is one of the toughest SOBs in the league. Now, he's unbelievable what he does. Guy missed a quarter last night. What, he finished with 30 points? That's crazy. So Rick Carlisle, I think this is him just being frustrated. You can't actually be, though, this stupid and this dense. I'm just going to say it as nicely as I can, to actually think that the league is sitting there and Adam Silver, who's in the building, is sitting there and saying, hey, Pacers are a small market. Let's screw over the Pacers. League, you know, let's get Tim Donaghy back on the court. League, let's screw over the Pacers and allow the Knicks to win. It's just foolish. It's just jackassery. And it's just stupidity by Rick Carlisle. And he's a baby. And he's crying. And his feelings are hurt because his team's down 0-2. I don't even have a dog in the fight. Like, I don't. I know I was at the game last night. I'm behind the bench. I was cheering for the Knicks. All right? Because it was a fun atmosphere. It was a fun building. I get that. So I'm sure some dope could go, oh, well, you're behind the bench last night cheering for the Knicks. That was a great atmosphere. I don't have an NBA team. You know, I watch the Rangers fully in hockey. I watch the Patriots fully in football. I watch Michigan football fully in college football. Baseball, I'll be rocking and rolling with my Mets. But when you watch the NBA, that game last night, and you're in that building with that atmosphere, I'm just watching the moment. It was pretty damn cool. But never did I think, in game one, I did think it was the case that they got screwed by the officials. The kickball was a disgrace. And the offensive foul call was stupid. That gripe is deserving in game one. But in game two, outside of the double dribble that was overturned, where you're not winning the game anyway at that point, what are your legitimate complaints? Like when I see Brian Windhorst say that overnight, the Pacers filed 49 calls they felt were incorrect from game two to the NBA office. According to a league source, they sent in 29 from game one they previously withheld as well for a total of 78. Oh my goodness. How about you study a little bit more? How about you prepare more? That'd be like if I failed the test in college, which trust me, I did that enough. C's get degrees. That was my motto, which means you fail a few tests in order to get some C's eventually. You know, so you're not going to be bad in 1,000. But that would be like if I failed the test and I go up. Well, out of the 80 questions that they put on the test, about 42 of them were unfair. I'm going to send it to the dean of the school. Like, nothing's going to go in your favor because maybe they eliminate like one or two questions. But the officiating did not impact the game last night. All righty, let's go to Manny Rodriguez because I know Manny is a Knicks fan. Before we put Manny on camera, if you are watching us on YouTube, just be prepared to see how Manny is dressed for success today. And I would say he's dressed for success, but then he's working at a radio station. None of us dress like Manny Rodriguez is today. What are you, selling me some insurance or something like that?
I mean, I can get you out of a timeshare if that's what you need.
Read for later in the show, maybe. But geez, you're dressed up very nice today.
Well, I had a
job
meeting,
interview or funeral?
A little bit of both. I did a job interview here at the network. And
the job interview went so poorly, you had to go to funeral afterwards.
Yeah, no, actually, the funeral is for the Indiana Pacers because of this crybaby Carlisle. What a loser. 78
Cry
plays.
Baby Carlisle.
Are you kidding me?
Has Manny been sitting next to me a little bit too much? That sounds like something I would say.
Well, I'm over here sitting next to Zillionaire Zach.
Oh.
Sitting a couple of rows from the Knicks bench.
I called the play last night.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah. Did you see one of the fouls that Carlisle was crying about?
No, I didn't. And I'm 6'4", and I was standing on a platform so I could see a lot. The double dribble was stupid to overturn. It wasn't a double dribble.
It was a funky-looking play. If anything, it was a palming violation. Mm-hmm.
But that didn't impact the game.
No.
That's not why they lost.
No, come on. Plus, he's complaining about all the fouls and whatnot. I mean, did you know, Zach, that before Carlisle got hit with his first technical foul, the Pacers actually had more free throw attempts than the Knicks?
I didn't even know that, honestly.
Yeah, they had 17 free throws. That's how they
finished. I had too many margaritas at the game to understand that.
That's good job. And it's, additionally, is it the referee's fault that they shot, 58, 59% from the free throw line?
Is it the official's fault that they didn't put T.J. McConnell
back
in the game?
Over the last 7 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Carlisle. Give me a break.
Okay, so I'm assuming you're in the running for the Bart Winkler Show producer. Is that why you're all
pissed
up?
Yeah, a little bit. Okay.
Hey, Stu, maybe we have to add him to the coin flip when it comes to Tom Telesco. Just flipping coins to determine who's going to be the Raiders pick at 13th overall.
Going to need a dice at this point.
Yeah. Ooh, that's not a bad idea. We could do roulette. Infinity Sports Network roulette. We'll get all the hosts. We'll put in some money. We'll put on certain candidates. We'll have the ball go around the wheel and see who it lands on. Could be fun.
This is why you get paid the big bucks, man.
That would be fun. Zillionaire Zach.
Zillionaire Zach.
I kind of like that. I didn't pay for the tickets last night, so.
I mean, according to the internet, you do have that net rating net wealth of, millions of dollars?
$1 to $5 million, it says. That's my salary for the year. I could confirm that's not even close. And it's not in the better direction. It's in the wrong direction.
Not to get into your pockets, but.
No, come on. If I made $1 to $5 million a year, I think I'd do this job for like 6 or 7 years and then say goodbye and go off to some island and just put my feet up and relax and hang out.
Doesn't that sound phenomenal right now?
Yeah.
That's about to be what Carlisle and the.
You got to be roasting today.
Pace, what?
Because it's so hot in this building.
No, yeah.
You're wearing this suit.
Yeah, bad decisions
were
made.
You ever see Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah, of course.
You know when the FBI agent, mm-hmm. is sitting on the subway mm-hmm. and like Jordan Belfort goes out of his way to say, oh, you're probably miserable sweating in that suit. And like he's like making fun of the regular day guy that goes on the subway in the suit and the tie and everything.
Great.
That's what you probably got to feel like today.
No, yeah, it's definitely.
You got to be schvitzing your ass off.
It's definitely sweaty underneath all of this right now. But I look good.
Yeah, you don't smell though, at least. That's good.
There's
some people around here, man. They sweat, they smell. You're like, oh, get away from me.
No comment.
Absolutely disgusting.
No comment.
You're looking good, though.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
How much gel you put in your hair today?
A lot. I mean, if I don't put any gel in this, when...
Do you usually have a mustache?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
For some reason, I don't know why.
I've had it for about 2 years now.
You don't go goatee at all?
Go what now?
Goatee?
No.
Beard?
Because I have... No, it doesn't grow in, mm-hmm. dude. Doesn't grow in. Thank you. Thanks, man.
What? I'm not Mr. Facial Hair myself.
Well, I mean, I still feel bad about it. I feel sorry for myself whenever I look into the mirror
goatee.
And I have a patchy beard.
I could grow a goatee. I cannot grow a beard.
No. I look great with this mustache.
You do?
I might have to trim.
I must ask you a question.
Yeah.
Coming up later.
Sure.
You know what? Just give us the sports, okay?
Okay, fine.
Well, come on back. We will update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. That is a news brief. But first up, with the latest Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash, here is the very sharp, the Mr. Dress to Impress, the biggest Knicks homer on the planet.
Woo!
And that is Manny Rodriguez.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Doors take us to summers away or winter adventures and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Are you a fan of mystery and adventure? Introducing June's Journey, the captivating free-to-play mobile game that will ignite your inner detective. Play as June Parker in a thrilling murder mystery adventure as you search for hidden objects to uncover the truth behind her sister's death. Step into the glamorous world of the Roaring Twenties with stunningly illustrated scenes and over 1,000 mysteries to unravel. With new chapters added weekly, you'll never run out of clues to chase and suspects to interrogate. Plus, you can build your own island escape with beautiful gardens and buildings, and even join a detective club to collaborate with other players. Experience the thrill of being a detective and unravel the mystery in June's Journey. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Let's go to Julian Edelman and Drew Bledsoe. Games with Names podcast. They were saying a little bit awkward between Robert Kraft and the hoodie, Bill Belichick at the TB12 roast.
Tension in that room, though.
It was real.
Good cut.
It was very real.
It was very real. I was so awkward. I was like, I was watching Coach, and I tried to give Coach a heads up. I'm like, I see Kraft walk in. I'm like, yo, Coach. You know, like, you know, some locker room, like 5-0, 5-0. You know, like, he didn't, of course he didn't see it.
Right.
And right. He came in, and I was like, oh, this could be some fireworks. I just walked away.
So I think a big topic the last few years was the tension between Brady and Belichick. I feel like whatever that tension was has now been over and done with. But now you replace the tension with Belichick and Brady, and the tension's with Belichick and Robert Kraft. And I think that's legitimate tension, because Brady and Belichick were together for 20-something years. And right, they're the two names most synonymous with the dynasty. And there was always that question, who's more important, which I absolutely hated that debate. And it got bad at the end, and it got petty at the end. But there were so many good years and great years of them together. Now, I know you could say the same thing with Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick, but Tom Brady never prevented, like, Bill Belichick from getting a job somewhere else. And reportedly, Robert Kraft basically told Arthur Blank, you're never going to have a warm, fuzzy relationship with Bill Belichick, which is not false, but you don't say that about someone that you spent 20-something years with when they're trying to get a job somewhere else and were clearly the front runner for that job, and you basically persuaded Arthur Blank not to hire Bill Belichick. So I think Belichick's actually in the right here, where he has every right to be annoyed and give some icy stares to Robert Kraft. So in a weird way, because no offense, like, I love Robert Kraft, but if I had to pick out of the three, Kraft, Brady, and Belichick, like, who I want feuding, I don't want Brady and Bill to be feuding. I'd rather have Bill and Robert be feuding, and that's what it seems like it's down to now. Let's go to the general manager of the Detroit Lions, Brad Holmes. He was on with Costa and Jansen on WXYT in Detroit, the ticket. Is an extension for Jared Goff coming soon?
First and foremost, you know, he's earned an extension, and it's important. It's a high priority for us, and both sides are working really, really hard. These things just kind of take a while, especially with the quarterback market, but I do have faith that it's going to get done.
So we're in an interesting spot. We'll do more on this later. But Jared Goff enters the last year of his contract. Dak Prescott enters the last year of his contract, and Tua Tagovailoa is on his fifth-year option this season. All their general managers like, yeah, these deals take a while to get done, but we believe in our guy. We're going to get a deal done. Like, Dak's not getting a deal done before the start of the season. And Tua and Jared Goff are ones that there's a chance it could get done. I still feel like Tua has more to prove, but when we get to Jared Goff, he's just coming off an NFC title game appearance. The Lions finally have stability for the first time in a long time. I wouldn't mess around with this one, but then also, where is Jared Goff really going? and you have the ability to franchise tag him, I believe, if you want. But I'm a little bit surprised out of the three that this is the one that has not got done yet. Let's go to Rick Carlisle. We talked about his bitching in the last segment about the officials in game two. Here is more ranting from Coach Carlisle. I like what Manny said. Crybaby Carlisle. More ranting about the refs after game two.
After game one, we always go through the film. And games where it felt like, you know, the whistles weren't balanced and we pull the clips. There's a way you can submit them to the MDA office. And so there were 29 plays in game one that we thought were clearly called the wrong way. I decided not to submit them because I just felt like, you know, we'd get a more balanced whistle tonight. It didn't feel that way. Couple examples, 5:08 of the third. You know, the whole world knows that Halliburton's got a bad back. And Hart comes up and shoves him in the back. It's all over Twitter right now because a few people have showed it to me. And J.B. DeRosa's looking right at it. You can see him. He's got vision of the play. And he shoves Ty right into the corner, and there's no whistle. Right in the back. That was shocking. But I can promise you that we're going to submit these tonight. New York can get ready. They'll see them too. You know, I'm always talking to our guys about not making it about the officials. But we deserve a fair shot. There's not a consistent balance, and that's disappointing. Give New York credit for the physicality that they're playing with, but you know their physicality is rewarded and ours is penalized. Just, you know, time after time. You know, it's just, I'm just really disappointed. Just really disappointed. You got to make a stand for your guys. You know, you got to stand up for what's right and what's not right, and that was it.
Well, then you should have said that after game one. Because in game one, the officiating, there were two moments at the end of the game, the kickball and also the illegal screen that should not have been called. That's when you should have complained. Last night, there was nothing egregious that made me say, oh, the Pacers got screwed by the officials in the game last night and impacted the game like it did in game one. And Samter, you're more of a numbers guy than I am. You went to Boston University. You went to BU. Let me just ask you a question here, numbers related. If one team gets to the charity stripe 17, they get 17 free throws. And let's say the other team gets 22 free throws. Is that a big difference, just wondering?
From a numbers standpoint, no. But you have to look inside the game and see. Like, are those 22 free throws that first team is getting on, you know, 12 opportunities? And is the 17 free throws happening on 30 opportunities where guys may have been fouled and they're just not getting called? So no, yes, by numbers, 22 and 17, not a big difference. However, it depends. If the team that's getting 17 free throws is more aggressive and they're getting fouled more often but it's not getting called, then yes,
it
could become
a bigger. Which wasn't the case last night. And the Pacers had 17 fouls called against their players. The Knicks had 14 fouls called against their players. And you look at the free throw percentages, the Knicks shot 81.8% at the free throw line. When the Pacers got the calls at the free throw line, they shot 58.8% from the charity stripe. So, Coach, how about stop bitching for more foul calls and tell your players to make the free throws? And then maybe one or two calls then could have decided the game. It just wasn't merited. It was not warranted last night to complain about the officials. In game one, it was. I'm being fair. I'm just calling it how I see it. Nikola Jokic, three-time NBA MVP award winner after last night. He did an interview with Shaq on Inside the NBA on TNT, and Shaq went out of his way to say, big fella, I appreciate you, but I don't think you should have won the award.
I want you to hear from me first. I thought that SGA should have been the MVP. That's no disrespect to you, but congratulations.
Thank you, Shaq. We don't judge people here, you know, so that's fine. It's your opinion. I'm joking.
No, hey, all good. I love you. I love your brothers. One thing we always going to do is keep it real with each other. Congratulations. I love you.
No, for real, I think there is a lot of people, that a lot of players that deserve it. You know, it's probably details and kind of small things.
Stu, what do you think about that question by Shaq? Just wondering. Do you think he should have asked that?
Yeah, I don't mind it. I didn't have a problem with it. Didn't stick out as like, wow, like, he's out of line. I think that's just how Shaq is. Shaq has been very honest with fellow big men, Embiid, Dwight Howard in the past. I think he's just being honest.
Samter, any problem with that?
No, and I didn't listen to the whole show, but I'm assuming that they probably were talking on the air about how Shaq thought that SGA should have won the MVP. And Shaq probably knew that Charles was going to try to throw him under the bus the second that he got the opportunity. So he wanted to be the first to say, hey, Jokic, I love you. You're deserving, but SGA was more deserving.
The reason I asked you guys that question first is I'm with you. But I understand social media is not a true reflection of society. But on social media, everyone's like, that's the wrong time and place. And you could just tell those people have never hosted a show. Like, could you imagine if I'm trashing someone and then you bring them on the air and you don't ask them at least about what you're trashing that person about? It'd be very disingenuous. It'd be very fraudulent. That's when we ever have like contentious interviews, or we have interviews where people are like, oh, I didn't expect you to ask that question. Well, I would look like a coward and a fraud if I didn't ask that question. So if what Santer's saying is true, that Shaq made it well known that SGA, he thought he should have won the MVP, maybe could have been a little bit more kinder in the approach about it, but I'm not going to slam him for that. I actually respect that Shaq had the cojones to say, hey, I don't think you should have won the MVP, and you get the reaction. Instead of just saying like, hey, some people say you shouldn't have won the MVP, when we all know who that some person was, and it was the big fella, Shaquille O'Neal. All righty, that's a news brief. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Brian Kelly has an issue with NIL. The new Boise State head football coach also talked about NIL as well. Why are some coaches not embracing NIL? And will it be a hindrance to their programs moving forward? We'll discuss that on the other side. You could always give us a call, 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227, and follow the Zach Gelb Show on X, Twitter, Instagram, at Zach Gelb. That is Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Coming on back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Are you a fan of mystery and adventure? Introducing June's Journey, the captivating free-to-play mobile game that will ignite your inner detective. Play as June Parker in a thrilling murder mystery adventure as you search for hidden objects to uncover the truth behind her sister's death. Step into the glamorous world of the Roaring Twenties with stunningly illustrated scenes and over 1,000 mysteries to unravel. With new chapters added weekly, you'll never run out of clues to chase and suspects to interrogate. Plus, you can build your own island escape with beautiful gardens and buildings, and even join a detective club to collaborate with other players. Experience the thrill of being a detective and unravel the mystery in June's Journey. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.